Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Sylvia Hennenberg, the co-director of the Keys Berlin and Paris programs and a professor of English and Gender Studies here at Morehead State University. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Leanne.
Now, I know you're getting ready for a big trip. We're talking about the Keys program that you're planning on doing in the spring semester?
In the summer semester,
mm-hmm. Okay. So we're talking about the Keys program that you're planning for the summer. And tell me a little bit about the history of the Keys organization. What does it even stand for?
So KIES stands for Kentucky Institute for International Studies. It used to be KIES because that E stood for Europe. We used to only have trips to Europe, but now we have programs all over the world, so now it's KIIS. And it all started in 1975 as a tiny sort of undertaking where a German class wanted to take trip abroad to improve German. And from there, it grew. It was initially a kind of a smaller operation between Murray State University, EKU, and WKU. And now we have 20-plus colleges in and around Kentucky, mainly in Kentucky, involved. And we have 29 programs, many of which are summer programs, but we also have winter programs. We also have midterm programs, and then we have 3-semester-long programs. We have about 550 students go every year and about 80 faculty involved.
Wow, that's a lot more people than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, where are you guys planning to go in the summer, this particular trip that you're working on right now?
So we're going all over the world again, as we do every summer, but I, this year, am going to be taking a group of 30 or so students to Paris. That's the so-called Paris 1 program. And then in the next year, I'll be going to Berlin again. Those are the two programs that I co-direct. So I have somebody else directing them every other year, and then this time is my turn for Paris. And we will be going to the center of Paris, and we will be looking at courses in political science and gender studies in English, honors courses, and also introduction to French culture. And the idea is for students to take one or two of those courses. All of these courses have to have a direct bearing on the location. This is why we go abroad. So it will not risk resembling a course at home exactly. It will always be directly tied into the culture of the place. All these courses have to have a rationale underpinning them that has to do with the place, the culture that we're traveling to.
So it's not just about, hey, I'm going on this trip with the people I go to school with. It's not like a field trip per se.
That's right.
It's definitely there's curriculum involved.
That's right. And in fact, we are not, the word trip is a big no-no, although I realize I used it earlier today. We like to think of it as a program. We like to think of it as a very work-intensive program. It is very intensive because, among other things, we put in the contact hours for a whole semester into a summer, into 4 weeks usually. And so that means that these students have class a lot. They have a lot of class-related excursions. We meet in the evening. We debrief. We have class on buses. It is pretty intense. I always like to say we have a lot of fun, and there's a lot of work, and there's really no time to stay in a dorm and nap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, speaking of staying in the dorm, I did want to ask you, where is it that these students, because it's not like you're going to stay in a hotel or at a resort.
It's not a resort, but every program is a little bit different, which I love about this whole organization, which is, by the way, nonprofit. We have 3 or so actual language programs, and those students stay in families. Those are so-called homestays, and they stay with families so that they really speak the language and get to know the culture, get to know the habits and the customs of these people. But we also have culture. The vast majority of our programs are taught in English, so they are open. This is very important, I think, to people who don't speak the language, because KIES is an organization that specializes in non-English-speaking countries. And so a lot of students will be apprehensive about going because they don't speak Italian or Spanish. and so forth, but they don't need it for the vast majority of our programs. So those programs that are not language programs tend to be in student facilities, welcome centers, or hotels sometimes if they are appropriate. We have classrooms that we rent either as part of the hotel or elsewhere in the city. And in the case of Paris, it's a large international forum where other groups also stay. And the students are in the rooms with about three or four people with a private bath. That's a pretty typical setup. And in the basement, we have classrooms that are equipped with everything that you might imagine. And then in between, there are eating facilities. So usually a program will have a breakfast and a lunch included. It depends a little bit on which program it is. So we eat there, we sleep there, we convene there, we have class there. But the vast majority of all of this takes place out in the city, out in the field, sort of in the interstices of formal classroom settings. That's where I think the real learning happens.
Mm-hmm. I think as a mom, one of the things that I'm apprehensive about letting my own children study abroad is like how much supervision, even though you're working with college students who are adults, parents typically worry about how much supervision they have, how much time they're spending in a group, and how much time they're able to kind of go off and explore on their own. I'm sure that's an issue that you've seen brought up before. Tell me a little bit about how much time they actually have, because the classwork is so intensive.
Right. So they have a lot of free time. I always like to I like to say that the way they manage their time is really – they can manage their time is ideal because they have, in a way, more supervision than at home because three colleagues are together with them day and night. We sleep in the room next to them. We eat at the table with them. And so we're always around. In that sense, there's more supervision or rather more of a possibility for them to come see us and ask us at all hours questions and so on. But it is true that they also, if they so choose, have more freedom than ever. In Paris, they are equipped with a Metro Pass, that's the subway pass, for a whole month. And they can go anywhere they want at any hour they want, provided we have two golden rules. They have to be in class. They have to be at the mandatory excursions and our group meetings. That's the one rule. And they can never be drunk. Those are the two rules. And other than that, they have a lot of freedom. And so parents, and I talk to parents quite a bit also at our mandatory orientation, they, of course, ask questions. And I reassure them that we are around. We're always around. We have excellent communication possibilities. Everybody now has a smartphone. We have special apps we use. One of them is called Circle of Six, so that we can always respond to problems. Of course, we're all connected via WhatsApp. We're also connected with the home institution, WKU, who sponsors all of this. We're also connected with Morehead State. If it's a Morehead student, with the individual partner schools. And then we have really, really excellent health insurance that we get for all of our students. It's mandatory. It's zero deductible. We've used it. We've used it successfully. People have been reimbursed. And, of course, we're very experienced. In my case, I lived in France. My colleagues have all lived in France and or abroad. We know the place. We've been to the very place many times where we're taking students. I've been doing study abroad since 2010, longer actually, since much longer than that actually. I was an instructor before I became a director. And so we also all enroll all of the students in the STEP program. That's the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. And so that gives you updates about protests, about any kind of terrorist activity, and we have very carefully studied and planned emergency plans for when there's a scare. Mm-hmm. That we've luckily had to use them in the sense that there was a scare somewhere close to Paris, and so I wanted all the students – to check in, and right. they all checked in within the hour, and they were there physically at the point where we had decided. But we haven't had to use them in the sense that we actually had to emergency evacuate or right. anything like that.
And that's good, especially with, I know that the state of the world in some places can be a little scary, and mm-hmm. and when you're sending your kids over there, I know that's always a concern. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about the program, but first we need to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected. WMKY is live online at wmky.org. Local, state, national news, and archive programs, including Health Matters, Open Mic, Mountain Edition, and The Reader's Notebook. Tell your smart speaker to play Morehead State Public Radio. Download our phone app and follow us on Facebook. Morehead State Public Radio keeps you connected to your community. WMKY's live web stream is online at wmky.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic, here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and we're visiting with Dr. Sylvia Hennenberg, the co-director of the Keys Berlin and Paris programs and a professor of English and Gender Studies here at Morehead State University. Thanks again for being on the show.
It's a pleasure, Leanne.
Now, there's a lot of students who are getting ready to go on this big trip with you guys in the summer, but who all is this open to? I mean, can anybody go?
Just about. So students have to be in good standing, which means they can't have some kind of prohibitive record. They have to have a minimal GPA. It depends a little bit on what program they go on and whether they go as honor students or not. But in general, a 2.0 GPA is the minimum requirement. They need a passport, and they need to be above 18. We will not even take somebody who is a hair younger. So that is a constraint, because I know that with craft students and so on, we do get students who are interested who are younger. It is a much better deal for students who are part of the so-called consortium to come, because they are considered consortium members. So if they're from one of the 29 or so consortium colleges, then they don't have to pay an extra fee. If somebody from California wants to come, they can, but they would have to pay an extra fee. We've taken all sorts of students. We've taken non-trads, we've taken graduate students, we've taken retired people, we've taken honor students, and at Morehead, you can go right away when you're a freshman. Some institutions have a policy that you have to be a sophomore and so on, but we don't. So it's also open to all faculty. We have a March application deadline for faculty applications, and what they have to do is propose two courses. And they have to make a case that those courses make sense in the place that they are proposing to go. So you don't really want to shut students up in a classroom and look at bacteria in the dark. You want to bring them out into the Galapagos Islands of Ecuador and look at the turtles instead. So, and your course description needs to reflect that. And I always like to say students, as a prerequisite, have to be interested in the country. They don't need to know the language. They don't have to be 4.0 students. They have to be interested. That's what I look for when I get my application essays. And faculty, the same. They don't have to be super well-versed in French or what have you. They just have to show that there is a real interest and a real desire to make this course work. Mm-hmm. And then we try to give everybody a chance to participate.
Now, speaking of being able to participate, how much does this kind of course cost for a student, let's mm-hmm. say?
So it is a steep price. I would say in general, this is an average. It's about $4,700 plus airfare. And we all know airfare to a place like Europe, we can add about $1,400 to $1,600. That said, there's a lot included. We are talking about a four-week period, sometimes a five-week period. We're talking about a tuition waiver for both of the courses that they're taking. Those courses will transfer in as WKU credit. We're also talking about health care for the entire time, a better plan than what I have at home normally,
right.
really.
Mm-hmm.
And it of course includes board and room and board, But some programs you do have to pay for one or two extra meals per day. So how do people afford that? Nobody has that kind of money. I understand that's very hard for me to quote unquote sell these programs because I know how much money is involved and I'm a terrible salesperson. But the first thing is financial aid. And I play with open cards. I say financial aid is all well and good, but those are debts and you have to want to make them. You have to be open-eyed about that. Even if financial aid gives you $5,000, those are still debts. And I like to emphasize that. So I send the students to our scholarships tab, and we really have done, I think, a great job listing all the different kinds of scholarships. I encourage students to stack them, to apply to all of them. It's not difficult to apply to all of them. It's always the same materials that are required. And few students really do everything that they could be doing. Mm-hmm. Then in addition, of course, we encourage savings, and we encourage that they ask for gifts at Christmas. And of course, there is a special scholarship. There's one big fat one for $4,000 that they can apply for. There's a diversity scholarship, and then there's one just for MSU students, and then there's one for just every program. So Paris students get one. Berlin students get one. Segovia students get one. So there's a lot of ways they can patch this together.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you've traveled extensively and lived in Europe, and I know you're going to Paris this summer, but tell me, like, what's different about the different locations for this summer's trip? I mean, is there a favorite one that you have? Is Paris obviously your favorite because that's where you're going?
Well, it's funny. When they asked me when they asked me to become the director of the Paris program, I was a little bit hesitant because I thought, oh, I live there. I know Paris. I'd like to do something new. But I accepted and I went back and I was enthralled by the city all over again. It's just a really exceptional place. And of course, Berlin for me has a family tie. I mean, that's the area I'm from. But these programs are dramatically different. So I'm sometimes surprised that a student will come to Berlin, and then the first thing they ask after they've taken their first good nap is, when can we go hiking? When can we go climb a mountain? I say, you're in Berlin. We're going to look at graffiti here. We're going to look at museums here. We're going to look at, you know, the Nefertiti on Museum Island. And then maybe on a weekend you can go hiking in the woods. But this is not the program where we're going to go hiking. We're going to be on cement. You're going to be, you know, students of the city. And so it matters, I think. It matters a lot what you study. Your selection of programs should be according to what you study or major. It matters to where you go. And a program in, say, Ecuador or in Austria, for that matter, is going to be very nature-bound. The Bregenz Austria program is in the middle of nowhere, and people are in homestays. They learn a lot of German on the weekends. They travel. It is a whole different animal than the Berlin and Paris programs, where you're going to have the opposite, and also the opposite of Moorhead, incidentally, which is, I think, a big, a fascinating proposition. So people have to really listen to the descriptions and also read the descriptions so that they are where they want to be.
Tell me about a typical week. I know you said you fly in and you take a good nap, but what are students going to be experiencing as they're immersed in the Parisian culture?
Mm-hmm. So we try to follow a model that we call place as text. So what that means is that we are using the city as text. We are not sending students with 500-page textbooks. We're sending them out. So we are outside a lot. We have straightforward classes about twice a week, I'd say. They tend to be longer classes than here, 2 hours, 2.5. It's pretty organic. Sometimes we team teach if it works out. We team teach with colleagues. And I'd say typically we have one day dedicated to a longer excursion. So we might go to the Château de Versailles outside Paris, or we might go to the chateaus along the River Loire further down south. So that takes a lot of time. We charter a bus, and that's a whole different, and then they have assignments on the bus, and we talk to them over the microphone on the bus. So that's a whole different day that's also class-related than the classroom day. And then the third kind of activity that's typical of a week is a class excursion, which is much different from what I just described with the chartered bus. The class excursion, we're walking. We're walking with an assignment through a museum in a very structured way, or they have to do some sort of scavenger hunt to find locations or to get to places in Paris. And then we also have, we have a mix of completely work-intensive weekends, Saturday and Sunday, and then free weekends, three-day weekends where they can and do travel really, really far. They will go to other places in France. They will go to other places in Europe. So that's what a typical week looks like, which is why I said intense earlier.
Well, I know that, you know, the travel season is next summer, but I know that the application process, is it extensive? When can people start, and how do they do that? Where do they go?
So it's they really just need a website, and it's KIIS.org. And there you will see a button called Apply. You press that button, and it goes from there. The application process, I think, is simple for students of, you know, they're pretty self-selected. So our students are of the caliber that they don't tend to find this daunting at all. They need a short essay that convinces me that they really want to be there. They need a letter of recommendation from a faculty member, by which I mean really mean a note of recommendation. It's a very short piece of writing. And they need to fill out some demographic information, plus their scholarship essays if they choose to submit those. It's all online. It's very, very user-friendly. And if they apply by December 1st, they get a break, a $100 break. And they also get a spot in the program, unless the application is really, really weak. They will get that spot, whereas the regular deadline is February 15, and then you don't get that $100 break anymore, and spots might run out.
Right. So, because you guys cap this. It's not like as many people who want to go can. You really are limited to how many students you're with.
Yes, of course, it's for the financial health of our consortium. Of course, it's good to have many students, but for the health of the program, it's good to cap the numbers. So a program is lovely when it's 20 per people strong. It's actually very lovely when it's only 12 people. We've taken as many as 40 just so that we didn't have to say no to anybody. And then we just add faculty. But that becomes a different program. Then not everybody knows everybody. I mean, you can't really, you know, walk around Paris with 40 people like little ducks in a row anymore. You know, it changes the nature of the program. I'm not sure it diminishes it, but my personal favorite is, my sweet spot is 20 people.
Mm-hmm. And is that just because it's easier to travel and because you really get the opportunity to know each other well in that four-week time?
Everything. So from a director's point of view, I really like that everybody knows everybody. I like everybody to be on every excursion, because those class excursions, that was one type that I described earlier, they're not mandatory if you're not in that class, but I like everybody to come on everything because I think it's so enriching. And also from a point of view of just health, you know, if you have 40 people, somebody's going to get a sore throat. If you have 20 people, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when somebody gets a sore throat, it really has an impact on the program. If somebody has a cold, you know, it just changes. You have to go to the pharmacy, you have to go to the doctor, you have to change the schedule. So for that reason, too.
It's really important. Well, if you're interested in going on this trip or finding out more about the program, KIIS.org is the website. Dr. Sylvia Hinnenberg, co-director of the Keys Berlin and Paris programs and a professor of English and gender studies right here at MSU. Thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Leanne. It was a real pleasure to talk to you today.
And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Our listeners, we'll see you next Friday.